Psalm 32 and Psalm 33 run together. I believe one not only follows one another, but I believe they have a connection, and we'll see that here also in the remainder of these messages here the next couple of weeks. Oh, you know, when we think of this month, November, of course, we immediately think of Thanksgiving. And it causes us to remember, at least if you're my age, it causes you to remember days long ago. But it's also, the month makes you think about days that lie ahead. We still, our Thanksgiving is still yet to come this month. And the memories are still being made for my children and my grandchildren. Of course, generally, you know, we'll have a meal. And it's a meal like no other that we generally have in the course of a year. Family gatherings of the past kind of blend together with what's going on in the present. So I think I can say that this is it's a joyful time of year as we look forward with expectation of being with our family. And so with that in mind, I want to begin this November. Of course, Brother Brandon had the first Sunday, this being the second. But I still want to begin this November rehearsing the greatest personal event a human soul can experience. As your pastor, I long for you to have joy that only God can give. And I pray that God will talk to us as we look at this passage and continue in this and the following psalm. I pray that God will talk to us individually and then talk to us as a church. Not just because it is November or Thanksgiving, but because we really need a refreshing from the Lord. A work done in our hearts that will bring Him absolute glory. Now, we've already read this psalm, but I do want to read it one more time in your hearing. And then we'll begin to divide it out and see how David presents this. And maybe even before I read, let me just ask you a question. Have you recently had to ask someone to forgive you? Maybe something that you said or something that you did that either upset, disappointed, or even hurt someone else. Maybe some word you said in a moment of agitation, some criticism that you leveled that either instantly or later you thought about what you said and you regret saying it. And you know words can never be taken back. And the only thing that you can do is ask for forgiveness. Have you had to do that? Maybe not recently. When's the last time that you had to ask someone else to forgive you? With that kind of stuck in your mind, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Heavenly Father, I am so grateful for your forgiveness that has come to me fully, freely, and of your own kindness and grace. Lord Jesus, I know that I have not deserved what you have given to me. I couldn't earn it were I to live billions and billions of years. I could never have earned what you have given to me. And so I rejoice and thank you for the day in which forgiveness was granted to me. And I want to thank you that over and over and over again, when I have offended you and sinned against you, when I have failed you, you have forgiven me. And today I stand in that mercy of forgiveness. And I love you and I thank you for forgiving me. Oh God, I pray for my children, my grandchildren, my neighbors, for these lost ones who have never experienced the forgiveness of Almighty God. Maybe there will be someone who will hear this message and know that they stand guilty before God. Their sins are glaring. The pain of them is real. Maybe they'll hear this and bow their knee and ask for the forgiveness that you freely give to sinners who ask. Lord, I thank you for this month of thanksgiving, joys that are given to us, so free and so gracious. But I pray today that the whole focus of this message, that of forgiveness, might cause the saints of God here to rejoice, love you deeply, serve you faithfully. And Father, for what you do, I'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know that David committed a great sin. And the consequences continued throughout his life. Psalm 51 is that psalm that he wrote to express in the full his own personal agony and confession and contrition and turning from that sin. And you and I have turned on more than one occasion to Psalm 51 to use the very same words that David used to look up into the face of our God, guilty of some sin that we've committed, and say to him, as David said, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. And have enjoyed the forgiveness that comes from John, 1 John chapter 1, where it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Old Testament or new, still required saints, sinners, to come with open confession, with a broken and contrite heart. Sometimes there have been consequences to our sins. But I believe that I can say to you that none of us have received the full of what we've deserved. And so as David writes that 51st Psalm as that personal confession, the 32nd Psalm, as we've already stated to you, it speaks of it, that it is a masculine, it is a psalm intended to instruct. And you have to, as you read it, you recognize that. You recognize that David is trying to give something, even in the singing of a song, that would enable the people of God to be instructed of how they might come and why they should come to ask for forgiveness. Title of this message today, it's just simply that, forgiveness. In this month of Thanksgiving, is there something greater that you can thank God for than this glorious thing that you have been forgiven? Absolutely exonerated from all of your crimes? So clearly, this is something that David wrote that the Holy Ghost gave to him to be a help to you and a help to me, that we might see the benefit and the value of being forgiven. Well, first of all, let's consider these first two verses. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Let me put this as David is putting it, because he wants to hold out for the people of God the possibility of happiness. Because that's what the word blessed means. Let me ask you here this morning, are you happy? Well, that's what David's doing. He's holding this out. He's saying, blessed, happy. And you see some of the words in italics here. So if you skip the italics, it is blessed, transgression, forgiven, sin, covered. I like it reading it like that, because it kind of puts it in a bold declaration. Blessed, transgression, forgiven, sin, covered. What a message to give to somebody. And all around you, here we're stepping into the Thanksgiving and Christmas season, and you will see on the faces of everybody in Walmart the most glum, miserable expressions. The time to be happy? It's very little of it. It's miserable. What a miserable time of year in which everyone wants to talk about it being joyful. There is misery to sin, isn't there? So David arrests your attention. Are you unhappy? Oh, I've got a way for you to be happy. I've got a way for you to be blessed. Transgression forgiven. Sin covered. How could that possibly be? I'm all the time mixing this story up. I can't remember if it was Hudson Taylor or William Chalmers Burns that went to China, and there in the 1800s decided that they would shave their head like the old Chinese did, with just the ponytail in the back and the traditional robes of clothing in the 1800s. Went there as missionaries, took on their whole lifestyle. And whichever of those two men, I can't remember which, went into the interior and showed up on the market day and had an old man grab his arm, because he looked like a Chinaman, excuse me. And the old man grabs his arm and says, "What can I do about my sin?" Well, who had told that Chinaman he had sin? Our world is unhappy. Our world does not know the blessedness of God. But for you and me, for us, for our church, for us individually, here is the possibility to be happy. Absolutely happy. Content. Because transgression forgiven, sin covered. Transgression? Yes, indeed. Transgression, and there is a, in looking some of these words up, I was kind of stunned when I read the Hebrew for this word transgression. It would be pronounced pshaw. And that is something that I've seen of old old language, where, and I'm not quite even sure how it was defined, but I've heard that, pshaw. But it means to revolt, to have a quarrel. And so, blessed, happy, those that have had a quarrel. And who is this quarrel with? This quarrel is with none other than with God. Transgression can be forgiven. It can be forgiven. It can be lifted. It can be carried away. And that's the only way that you can ever be happy. And for you and I, and certainly in this month where we are speaking about Thanksgiving, for the things for which we are grateful, your transgressions, the quarrel, the revolt of your heart can be forgiven and has been forgiven. And shouldn't we be a most happy and blessed people to have experienced that from God? Transgression, the three terms here, transgression and sin covered and iniquity. Sin is an offense. That's what we're talking about. I asked you earlier. I said, when's the last time that you had to ask someone to forgive you? You said something, you did something that offended them, and you actually had to ask for forgiveness. We put it in these terms. Well, he really dug a hole for himself. That's exactly what the word means. Sin means to make a hole. It's one that you've dug and fallen into yourself. And don't you remember that's also one of the expressions that that David uses in the Psalms. Lord, let those that have dug a pit for me, let them fall in their own pit. Well, when you and I sin, we just dig a pit for ourselves. And so when the scripture says here sin can be covered, it can be filled up with the mess you've made, the unhappiness that you've created from by the result of your own sin, God can deal with that. He can make you happy. The word iniquity. Sharon, she's keeps having to go back to Hobby Lobby. More material. She's knitting or crocheting or witching, knitting, I guess it is. She's weaving those things all together. That is what iniquity does. It weaves together a pattern that you can't break. But God can take that moral perverseness of sin, of iniquity, and He can cleanse it, change you. Hold your place here. Let's turn back. We'll come back to the psalm in just a moment. But turn to Exodus. You'll find in Exodus chapter 34, the first time God puts all this together. Exodus chapter 34 and verse 5. Exodus 34, 5 reads, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord." Now, what is that name of the Lord going to be? How is it going to be represented? "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed the Lord. The Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." The very things that David cites here in Psalm 32. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. So which would you prefer? Your sin to have a lasting effect on your children, your children's children, your children's children's children? Or wouldn't it be better to be happy, to be forgiven, because the very nature of God Himself, how He declares and defines Himself, He is the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy. So, here it is. Here is the possibility of you being blessed, of you being happy. And David puts it in this wonderful phrase, blessed, transgression forgiven, sin covered. Well, okay, so what if you don't? What if you just say, I don't need God's forgiveness? All right, verse 3. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. And now look, Selah, I want you to meditate on this. I want you to think about this. I want you to see the possibility of being blessed by God, of being happy and full of joy. Or holding on to your sin and having the result of that sin to make you absolutely miserable. So, go to the Walmart, go to your stores, watch the people's faces as they go in and as they go out. I don't see them leaping for joy as they go in. They're all loaded up with stuff. I don't see them leaping with joy as they go out. We're filled with anger and bitterness. And the things that they are living their life for is the very source of their own unhappiness. You can anticipate personal misery. David says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring. Now, of course, this is particularly speaking to those who already have a relationship with God, as David did. His unconfessed sin generated a premature aging. Can you see that? Sharon and I, we're people watchers. We watch people. And many of these people that I see going in and out of the stores, you can see their lives have been prematurely aged because of the lives that they've lived. They don't attribute that to sin. They attribute it to a good time. They've got the wrinkles and the miserable faces and bodies of what they've called a good time. But they're old, and quite honestly, they're ugly. David sees the impact of keeping silence, that his bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Life was absolutely miserable. I ask you, are you happy? Do you know what a mercy it is when God will not take his hand off of you? For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Would you please meditate on this? Would you honestly consider it? Would you think about how miserable you are, how unhappy your life is without forgiveness? And why would you continue on in your sin? Think about this. Meditate on this. Sin's reward. He's almost using the language here that sin has just taken the life out of me. And that you can see. You can see it in people's lives and faces. I don't care if they're a teenager or old people. You can see the life's just not, it's not there. They have little moments of some joy, and then it's right back into the misery that they cannot escape. So I ask you here today, is there a silence in your life? When I kept silence. And can't you see it? They are silent toward God They won't talk to him. They will not own their sin. Silence. As a pastor, I have seen it in the lives of people in our churches who would not deal with their sin. They got angry at somebody, the pastor, someone in the church. They got disappointed at something that didn't happen to them. And like David, they kept silent. And here was the result. Misery. Misery. You know, there isn't anything more miserable than a church member who has gotten angry with God, frustrated at their circumstances. It's a personal misery. You want to continue that? Not me. What's the personal remedy? Verse 5. I acknowledged my sin. To the church? No. Now, there are times when some infraction has actually damaged the church. And yes, it's right and proper for someone that has damaged the testimony of the church by their own sinful actions to stand up before a congregation after having already gone to God. Because that's what he says here, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. So that's where we go. I can't help you. I can't forgive you. I didn't shed my blood for you, and I didn't give my body for you. And even if I could have, it wouldn't have done you any good. But the Son of God, the one who loved us and bought us with his own blood, did. And he's the only one that can forgive us. He's the only one that can cleanse us. In this month of Thanksgiving, boy, let it be said of us individually and us as Grace Fellowship that we come together with our hearts filled with gratitude because we've been forgiven. Whatever I've been sour about and disappointed about and agitated about, it's been awful. It's been a revolt. And I need to ask God to forgive me. And as David would say in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So, if that's absent, that means you're not happy. That means you're not blessed. That means you've been silent. That means it's time to get alone with God and do what David did. He's first of all held out the possibility for you to be a blessed people. And the consequences of not doing that, here's the blessing if you'll, the personal remedy. I acknowledged my sin unto thee. In mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And what happened? And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah, again, think about this. Would we be blessed? Would we be happy? We would be if we would keep very short accounts with God. At every point where we know we've disappointed Him, we come and confess that and ask for forgiveness so that blessed, transgression forgiven, sin covered. How does that happen? Because I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And faithful to his name that we read in Exodus 34, he's the God who delights in showing mercy. He's long-suffering. He's ready to forgive. That's the God he introduced himself to when he introduced himself to the Jewish people when they came out of the land. Here's who I am. Here's what I delight to do. I delight to forgive you. I want you to know how long-suffering I am with you. And so he puts it in David's heart after his own sin. And this is no doubt, I think, some reflection of still part of what he confessed when he did this great and awful sin. But now, where he personally is confessing it in Psalm 51, he's saying, will you listen to me? Let me give you some instruction. I want you to be happy. God wants you to be happy. He wants you to be a blessed people. He wants you to acknowledge your sin to Him. To confess it. To see it for what it is. Because God stands ready to forgive. You say, ready? Oh yes. Oh yes. Verse 6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. What is your personal response? The personal remedy is to acknowledge and confess. The personal response? Pray. For this shall everyone that is godly pray. He says, well, I can't pray right now. Oh, yes, you can. Right now. Right where you're in your seat. Right now. You can ask God to forgive you. If God has brought some infraction, some sin, some iniquity, some transgression, right where you're seated, right in this moment, you can acknowledge that sin to God, you can pray, and you can ask God to forgive you right now. Because God stands ready to forgive. When David used that word in verse 5, I acknowledged, it means to ascertain by seeing. I see it now. I see it. I see the sin for what it is. I see the transgression for what it is. I ascertain. Maybe it was not clear to me, but I see it now. My personal response, I pray. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Hold your place here. We turn to that familiar passage out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. You say, well, I have to come forward in a meeting. No, you just need to pray right here, right now, right this moment, when God is talking to you. Isaiah chapter 55. Beginning our reading at verse 6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And he's near. He's here right now. He's ready to talk to you right now. If you've seen and acknowledged, you've ascertained by seeing where the sin has blinded you, you may call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him. God will have mercy upon you. And to our God, for he will what? Abundantly pardon. Blessed, transgression forgiven, sin covered. God stands ready to abundantly pardon. How do I know that to be so? He sent his only begotten Son to a cross. And he laid my sin on his only begotten Son. To make me, the sinner, happy. we never see the full consequences of our sin. There's always consequences to our disobedience. We know that. But we don't see the full consequences. What if God let you see the full consequences of every single sin you ever committed? Can you imagine how bad that would be? Can you imagine how pervasive your sin would infect generations all around you if God rewarded you according to all of your iniquities? You can find God. You can find Him right now. Come back to Psalm 32. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto him. God in his mercy is not going to flood you over. He stands ready to pardon you, to forgive you. And not only that, he says here in verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. That's why we come into God's house. We have to sing. I have to sing. God puts something in us. I not only want to sing, I want to hear singing sung. I've got to have that. I have to have that expression. I need that expression. I rejoice in that expression. And again he says, Selah. Look at this. For everyone that will come and pray, you'll discover you've been made the godly. And God will become your hiding place from that offense, the hole that you dug for yourself, the iniquity, the crookedness, the very bent of your nature, the transgression, the revolt, the quarrel that you've had with God, all now is confessed. And God takes you from, look what he says in verse 3, and when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. So we go from roaring to verse 7. He compasses me about with songs of deliverance. So which do you want? You want to have the misery of roaring like a dissatisfied lion, all the animals that squawk and carry on? Or do you want to be able to enjoy songs of deliverance? Meditate on this. Look at the benefit of this. Pray. Ask God to forgive you. Let's get clear with God. Let's let Him deal with us about everything that has offended Him. So now we come to verse 8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I would say to you, have you listened? Are you listening? Will you listen? Out of all of this, David says, I now want to instruct you. I want to teach you in the way which you should go. I'll guide you with mine eye. God will do this for us as we acknowledge our sin, confess it, and pray and seek His face. Listen here, don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. Don't be stubborn. This hole that you've dug by your own sin. God stands ready to cover it. You can't fix it. But God can take you out of your unhappiness, out of your misery that you brought on your own self by your own rebellion. God holds out, as David could confess his sin, he says, I want to instruct you. Let God instruct you. Let God counsel you. Let God guide you. Don't be as the horse. Don't be as the mule. Have you listened? God speaks through His Word. Will you listen? Because if you won't listen, verse 10 is the only alternative. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked. But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. God stands ready just as a compass is a circle. God stands ready all about you to take the unhappiness, the misery, the sorrow, and turn it all. Turn it all. That God would make us a joyful people. So don't go on in your sorrows. Don't go on in the silence. And notice, he says in verse 11, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. He goes from silence to a shout. So I guess that's why it's all right every once in a while to shout in church. That lets you know that somebody's gone from silence. They've dealt with the sin. They've come to Christ. They've prayed. They've acknowledged their sin. And He's put songs of deliverance in the soul. No more the roaring, now the singing. No more the silence, now the shout. Oh, that God would do this for us. Let this month of Thanksgiving, when the world, their Thanksgiving is very empty. It is saturated with their own sin. And they cannot be happy. Oh, they can have little seasons of momentary joy, but they cannot know the joy of sins forgiven until they come and acknowledge. So listen to what David had to say. Here's a great instruction. He holds out. Blessed, transgression forgiven, sin covered. Blessed is the man in whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. What a wonderful thing that God would not lay to your account what you deserve to be laid to your account. The sin and the punishment that you and I deserve, that can be taken away. And it can only be done in the blood of Jesus Christ. His merit alone. All of this looked forward to the great work accomplished on the cross. And He will instruct you. And He will guide you. And He will care for you. Take the hymnal and turn to hymn number 210. Number 210. We'll sing this hymn in closing this morning. Number 210, Jesus paid it all. If you'll stand with me as we sing. I hear the Savior say, thy strength Indeed is small, child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Jesus stands ready to forgive. God declared himself the Lord, ready to pardon, ready to abundantly pardon. May God grant mercy to sinners even today. If I can be of any help to you, Pastor Brandon would be glad to help you. I'd be glad to talk to you about the need of your soul, but you have to go to God. David said, I acknowledged my sin to thee.